Welcome to LAC Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network. This is Marissa and Jemmy from InLacrosseWeTrust.com with our NLL Draft Preview Show coming up here. We have an interview with Terry Sanderson, the general manager of the Toronto Rock, and also plenty of talk about NLL draft prospects, what to expect from the draft Monday night, and about the newest National Lacrosse League teams, the New England Black Wolves. We'll be right back momentarily with an interview with Terry Sanderson.
This is Curtis Knight of the Edmonton Rush, and you are listening to the La Crosse Radio Network.
Back here on LAC Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network, going to discuss a couple of the top draft prospects to watch on Monday night. First overall pick, it can be expected to be Ben McIntosh out of Drexel University, Maple Ridge as well. Like the connection because Edmonton... they've been hinting they like McIntosh, and also he went to Drexel, same as Robert Church, one of their first-round picks last year. Jeremy Noble, also an option. Easy to expect he could go to either Vancouver or Minnesota. Minnesota wants him, which still makes their first-round pick, first overall pick trade to Edmonton kind of puzzling, but they really want Noble. If he drops to number three, Minnesota is taking him. Miles Thompson, Calgary likes him. They'd like to get both those Thompson moves, first two picks. Not sure how viable that is. Obviously, teams like Buffalo, Rochester, New England would want him. Eli McLaughlin, an option for first overall. He could be second to Vancouver, being a British Columbia guy out of Coquitlam. And then Mark Cockerton, who to me is a very interesting prospect to watch because he's dropped. He hasn't played a lot of box lacrosse, as they wrote in my top 50 prospects, 5 through 1. But he's a fantastic player in field and in box. He stepped up big time for the Rochester Rattlers in Major League Lacrosse this season. He won a Minto with Whitby. He scored 95 points in 2012, which is the last time he played full-time in box lacrosse. I like Cockerton as a 5th, 6th, 7th overall pick, potentially. I wouldn't be surprised if he fell to the second round, but I don't expect it. So I would keep my eye on Mark Cockerton as well. Other guys, Robert Hope, to me, is the best defender in the draft. I don't think anyone would argue that fact. Sleeper picks like Adam Bacular-Evans, who could be a 5th, 6th, even 4th round pick, depending if a team overvalues him. I like Peyton Loophole, a decent goal scorer. Kyle Isaacs, Six Nations guy, he could go 3rd round if Rochester really likes him. Quinn Paulus, who did declare for this draft, was unsure if he would, same with Alexis Bouquet. But Quinn Paulus could go 2nd. I have him in the 3rd round right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if he went 2nd round. Casey Jackson declared he should have been in the draft last year. He decided to stay at school at the Rochester Institute of Technology. It turns out he is going to draft this year. I would have had him ranked number 11 in my top prospects, right ahead of Todd Nakasugi, but he didn't declare till now, so he's in the draft, so I like Jackson to go early 2nd. I don't imagine a team would reach for him in the 1st round. He could be mid-2nd. Another prospect I really like, there's a lot of Brampton guys in this draft, by the way, too, so you hear a lot of talk of Brampton guys. Some guys I could see in the late 1st round or early 2nd round I have in my 10 through 6 prospect rankings. Ty Thompson, I think he'll go with the same team as Miles. Sheldon Burns, a very good defenseman. Dan Keene out of Brampton. Melnichenko, who I think he's going to be a 1st round pick, I expect, but still, I think he's been a little bit overlooked. I'm just going to take one quick last look at the 20 through 11 prospect before I move on this discussion. Brandon Benn, he's being undervalued a bit right now because he's another guy who hasn't played a lot of box. But he's pretty polished. I like him. He might draft to the late second round, actually, even though I like him as an early second round guy. Paul Brebber, decent defenseman. But we're going to go to a quick break right now. We'll get back to talking about a few more prospects. We'll talk about the New England Black Wolves a bit more when we get back as well.
This is Kyle Sorensen, the Washington Stealth, and you're listening to the La Crosse Radio Network.
On the InLax La Crosse Radio Network hotline, we have Toronto Rock General Manager Terry Sanderson. Okay, first question is about Jeff Gilbert returning to the Toronto Rock. What do you believe he brings to the defense?
Well, it was a tough decision for us to move Jeff when we had to, but in order to get the deal done, I believe it was 3 years ago, Minnesota wouldn't do it unless Jeff Gilbert's name was in that transaction. So we didn't want to get rid of him then. We're happy to have him back because we've been a little bit on the defensive side of the ball as far as left-handed defensemen are concerned. And Jeff comes back in and fills that void for us. Plus, he comes back with another 3 years of experience. And along with some leadership and a little bit of toughness that adds to our back end in America.
And you've also added Brody Merrill. So obviously he's one of the better defenders in the history of the sport. What do you believe he's going to bring?
Again, he's going to bring another... Brody's in a situation much like Jeff was. He's a left-handed defensive player, probably known for a little bit more of a transition game than Jeff. And we wanted to try and create some more goals coming from our back end. It was one area where we needed help in, where we lacked a little bit last year. And Brody brings that in spades, plus he brings a lot of other intangibles that we need, some toughness, team toughness at that, loose ball expert, a guy that, wears the heart on his sleeve. And getting a guy like Brody doesn't happen every day. And we couldn't pass up on the opportunity to get him back in Toronto.
With the defense, you also brought in Brock Sorensen, who had to give up first-round pick from last year, Ethan O'Connor. What was the process in bringing in Brock?
Another situation there. We weren't actively pursuing Brock. His name came up in other trade discussions. Again, it's something we paid a price for Brock, a dear price for Brock. I believe he's worth what we paid for him. But now, not only do we have a solid left-handed side of the defensive side of the ball with Brody and Jeff, now we've got depth because Brock comes in and adds the same amount of skill set to that position, as well as a nice offensive touch and some size. So we're very pleased with that addition as well.
And you have added a ton of depth on defense. Do you feel like there's any need to bring in extra depth on the left side of the offense with Garrett Billings coming off of the injury? And what is the status of Billings? Because last time I checked, I believe he was a restricted free agent.
Garrett's he's going through rehab right now. Garrett fully expects, to be back. I don't think we're going to see Garrett on the floor until sometime in February, if I'm being totally honest. But we're also bringing in a couple of free agent kids that we think actually might have a chance to step in and play. Are they going to do the same thing for us as Garrett Billings? No. But with Hellinger and Barron's on that side, these guys could just complement them enough to fill a spot until Garrett's ready to go. We don't feel that you lose your position through an injury. And when Garrett's ready to go, we're going to have him, back in the lineup. But that's the game plan right now that we're looking at.
Are you looking to bring in some of that depth on forward through the draft?
If it's there, certainly. But we also feel there's always going to be some free agents that maybe the names are jumping out at people right now. But we do feel that in time, some offensive righties might present themselves. So there's another avenue there that we haven't even got to yet that we feel could be a possibility.
And the draft is coming up on Monday night. What do you think we can expect to see the Toronto Rock do?
We don't pick until the 33rd overall, so, we're still going to kick tires. We have addressed what our needs were to this point. I don't believe much is going to happen in respect to us.
Another free agent status question I just have. Chris White is currently a free agent. Are there any plans to bring him back?
Well, we're just talking with Chris right now, and that'll be Chris's position. If he wants to come back, we haven't made an announcement on yet, we'll have to wait before we finalize that.
Last season, you traded for Brandon Miller to come in and play along with Nick Rose. Do you think Miller will see more playing time this season, or could he even end up as a starting goaltender, or do you expect a split with Rose?
Well, I mean, that's a fair question for our coaching staff, but as we said to Brandon and Nick, you know, the number one spot is going to be up for grabs. Whoever wants it, you know, is going to have to earn it. The fact that we've got what we consider two number one goaltenders probably makes us, you know, well, we're deep in that position with having two guys that are capable to play on any night. So, if I'm, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn here, I wouldn't be as surprised if it's not a split situation. But again, somebody gets on, I would imagine Mr. Lovell is going to go to the guy that gives us the best chance to win.
Last question here. Today was announced New England Black Wolves will be the newest team in the NLL. They moved from Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on New England having a team back in the National Lacrosse League and being an opponent of them?
Well, I was very sorry to see Philadelphia, you know, not field a team, especially with them being in the league as long as they were. At the same time, I'm glad we didn't lose team completely, and you know, 20 some players out of a job, along with the coaches and everybody else that gets involved with it. From what I understand, this is a great lacrosse group coming in. I see where they brought most of the Philadelphia staff over with them, so I'm hoping for good things. Really looking forward to playing. You know, the new club, and I hope everything works for everybody.
That was Terry Sanderson, a general manager of the Toronto Rock, discussing the state of the team and upcoming draft. Some interesting things I thought he pointed out. Garrett Billings is going to be out till February. I don't think any of us really realized that, or at least I hadn't heard talk about that. So that's something to keep an eye on. Apparently they're bringing in a few more free agents for that offense. I'm interested also as well the stats of Chris White. I don't really see where he fits in with that team right now with all the defense they brought in. And Brandon Miller and Nick Rose, of course. That will be a situation to follow all season as far as the goalies go. We're going to wrap up relatively quickly here. I just want to touch on a bit about the New England Black Wolves, the newest team here in the National Lacrosse League. Obviously, being from New England, I'm very thrilled to have a team back. It's too bad Philadelphia's gone. They were such a great organization, and I have full confidence there will be a Philadelphia team back and returned. I just hope it works out here because New England can be such a great lacrosse market. I feel like this ownership group is almost in a no-fail situation because since they own the arena, they can charge for parking, concessions, all that stuff. They won't lose any money. So that, to me, makes this organization a potential hit. So some moves they've made already. They brought in Brett Bucktooth, which makes sense. Brody Merrill's out. They brought in Mike Burke and Jamie Lincoln, two very good young players, I feel like, will fit in with that team. They moved Kyle Belton out to Vancouver, of course. He's from Langley, so that move made a lot of sense. I talked to Blaine Harrison earlier this week, their head coach. That interview was posted on the site probably by the time this podcast is posted. And he said Evan Kirk, who is a restricted free agent, will be back in net. He expects Kevin Crosswell to be back as a potential backup. They have their free agent camp on November 17th, so I'm sure we'll see some more goalies contend there. So I'm interested to see how that team operates. Philadelphia has primarily been an American team. They have a lot of the same management. Meridian's gone, but Rich Lisk, who's apparently going to be their general manager, made a lot of those moves last season, so I don't expect a change in approach. Ethan Farrell, I heard, is trying out. He's a guy who was on Philadelphia parts of last year. I can see him making it. Greg Rogowski, he could be a player there. Ryan Hotelling already signed, so it's going to be a lot of the same as Philadelphia, maybe a few more New England-based players. I did a story on that earlier in this week where a guy like Jack Reed, I kind of heard, might be back this season. I don't have the rumor confirmed or anything, but that's something that could be watched for. If he does return, I would expect it to be the Black Wolves team. That's going to wrap up this discussion right here about the National Lacrosse League with some MLL talk very quickly. We'll be back in a moment to talk about Ryan Boyle and Steven Berger's retirement.
This is Nick Rose of the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on LAC Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network. I wanted to talk about Steven Berger and Ryan Boyle retiring, along with Greg Bice and Lee Zink. A lot of MLL originals, MLL veterans retiring. After this season, of course, Lee Zink got his championship with Denver. Greg Bice retires after a while in the league. Steven Berger after 10 years, Ryan Boyle after 11 years. I'm interested to see how that Boston Cannons offense shapes out with Boyle and Berger gone now. I expect Will Mandy to kind of take over Boyle's role, not as the captain, but playing behind a net there. Rob Emery, in a full year, could replace him in a production from Steven Berger, but the Cannons really have to draft well. They really, really have to draft well now, because they've gone away with some poor drafting, other than probably Emery and Mandy, who they've hit on very well. So they have to bring in some offense. I don't know what they can do exactly. I have to go look at some draft class information, but they have to really take advantage of their picks and bring in some offensive players. I don't know if Brody Merrill is going to be back. I heard he might not be, so they'll have to address defense as well, but I'm more concerned about the offense because we saw how bad that offense was without Paul Rabil that last game when they played Ohio, I believe it was, or it was Rochester in that game. They need that offense, and they'll have Rabil this season. Matt Posgay is not coming back, so they have Posgay, Boyle, and Berger gone. They need that offense to improve. And just to get off topic a bit, we're going to be wrapping up this podcast shortly. I want to hit on the U.S. national team, because I've been writing about that often. I've been very vocal about it socially. I like the coaches. Some people have been asking me about it. I do like the coaches. I just want the approach to be right. I have concerns about the team because I don't feel like the development's been there. U.S. lacrosse is taking over. I question their role a little bit in the development of some of these box players because, as we know, there are no leagues right now. So how we can expect some of these players to be at a higher level than they are, I have no idea. I think these players are at a higher level than we think they are. These guys play. They play Senior B. Some of these leagues, like the BILL or the PBLA, are higher quality than people want to acknowledge. The level of competition for the U.S. team is not going to be bad. I believe in mostly American players, probably the entire roster being American players. I know teams like England, Israel, Ireland, Czech Republic, Slovakia in the past, and they're not participating this year, have had players from America or Canada. Those are different teams. Those programs aren't at the level the U.S. program should be at. They should be able to take their players. And guess what? The U.S. team right now with All-American players could medal. They could get a bronze. The Czech Republic team is really good to me. They could medal as well. Israel, I don't even know what to predict because they're better in field than I expected. But USA should be able to medal. I'll be disappointed if they don't one way or another, but I want to see All-American players because that's what Team USA is. And they should be better than teams that aren't primarily box lacrosse countries. They should be able to field a team, and I think they can. I'm kind of tired of hearing they need Canadian goalies. Some names have been brought up to me, like Zach Higgins or Nick Rose. I don't want to see that. No disrespect to those guys are great goalies. But I want to see American goalies in there because they're better than we give them credit for. I want to see an American attack unit, defense, transition, because I think they're good enough. I think they're good enough to medal. And this is the United States indoor lacrosse. Let's have some pride in it. Let's really represent it well. So I'll be writing about that team a lot. Hopefully I can talk to some of that coaching staff soon to Bo Hunter Cups October 4th. I believe we'll have Dan Patterson and Pat Gregor from INLAX there to cover the event. I'll have some interviews there, and they'll have some audio that will probably appear on this podcast because LAX Live Radio is back. It's back and stronger than ever. We're going to be having lacrosse talk every single week here back on the Lacrosse Radio Network. So we will wrap up with that. Thanks, as always, to listening. Great to talk some lacrosse. Thanks to Terry Sanderson. NLL Draft is Monday night. The Combine is Sunday. We'll have Dan and Pat there, too, so they'll have their reports. We're going to have some interviews from there. And we'll try to post that throughout the week, and maybe it'll appear on the podcast. Thanks again for listening. Check out inlacrossewetrust.com for the best lacrosse coverage on the internet.